Episode 90.5.
We're getting fired up for the Cleveland Browns, the Cincinnati Bengals. Two teams. One that, yeah, another one that sounds cool.
Ryan's throwing batteries right now off screen.
Yeah.
Quarterback Deshaun Watson suspended for 6 games following dozens of allegations of sexual misconduct. Watson agreed to settle 23 of 24 lawsuits against him, but denies doing anything wrong.
I'm just gonna start. All right.
Let's do it.
Let's talk Cleveland Browns.
Hey, you did this to yourself, okay? We all picked bad teams too. You just were the homie and were like, all right, I gotta talk about this piece of shit.
You know what? If credit's what's important, I'll take credit. I will selflessly take the credit for jumping on this grenade.
I will always gas up the homies.
I am so brave. All right, so let's talk Cleveland Browns. Let's start with Kevin Stefanski. He's the head coach. He calls the plays. However, now that the bad man is back for off-season activities and having a training camp for the first time in a couple of years, he's changing his offense around to accommodate Watson, which is following a pattern that NFL executives have been doing for a couple of years now. So I am going to try to be subjective about this and provide some sort of unbiased insight about Watson, but like real quick, fuck this guy. He's fucking horrible. Fuck everyone that defends him. I don't want him on my pretend football team, even if he's free. If you listening find yourself on the same side as Deshaun Watson, something is deeply, deeply wrong with you.
Go fuck yourself.
Yeah,
I think Stefanski came out and said they're going to be running what's called a masseuse offense.
Yeah, because they're just gonna be like, look, we don't care. Fuck it. We're like the mask is off, man. So
where's the happy ending?
It's not here. So let's take a look at this shortened season of his. I'm like halfway done. His season was limited to only 6 games on account of the whole being a serial rapist thing. His splits showed a ton of rust since he was actually still in the back half of the league in fantasy points per game, passing yards per game, pass touchdowns. His yards per attempt was down almost 2 yards in his 6 games compared to his career numbers. And his touchdown rate, which was 5.8, went to 4.1.
Okay.
The new offense, though, is going to be more wide open. It's going to be focusing on funneling production through, like, the pass compared to just the run. It's going to be more of a balance. They ran at the 9th highest rate last year. So there's incentive to load up on Cleveland pass catchers. So Watson showed glimpses of the guy we knew before the world found out he was a fucking monster in the last 2 weeks of the season. He threw 5 touchdowns and only 2 interceptions, and he upped his rushing production. The talent is undeniable, which is one of the few things about Deshaun Watson that he doesn't have to spend a ton of time denying. I was pretty proud of that line. He's going to do really well this year, even if he takes a minor step forward in the new offense. I think his floor is probably 250 passing yards, 2 touchdowns, and 40 rushing yards each week. The question is, do you want to win at fantasy while knowing it's because of this guy?
So going back to our final destination part, right? Can we see him on the airplane and I hold him down and do the world a solid?
Yeah, I'll take him with me for sure. So speaking of things that I'd much rather talk about, let's talk Nick Chubb.
You kind of made it sound like Nick Chubb's not going to be good in redraft this year.
Oh, no.
The best pure runner in the NFL, Nick Chubb.
The greatest ever pure runner that's ever run purely. So outside of his rookie year, he's never finished lower than RB10 on the season in fantasy points per game.
Nice. Just
gold. We've seen him do it with under 230 carries. And man, he carried the ball 302 times last year. That's, that's a lot. So I am actually projecting him to carry the ball less this year as they pass more. But I think that since Cleveland had a lot of room to improve as an offense, you would assume that an offense not run by Jacoby Brissett could get them the extra 40 points on the season that would have gotten them closer to the like Jacksonville, Miami, Seattle range that would make the lead running back on that team look great no matter what.
Yeah.
If the offense gets better, he scores more touchdowns, period. He's the guy they're giving the ball to in the red zone, you know? He's only missed six games in his career.
Dude, what a maniac.
I'm saying. He's got like a Derrick Henry level workload and he stays healthy. Should.
Probably because he squats 700 pounds.
Right? He's going to get double-digit touchdowns. That's just a thing. The loss of Kareem Hunt is great for Jerome Ford, but it's also great for Nick Chubb. The offense will pass more, but that means they'll be in the red zone more. Chubb had 42 touches in the red zone last year, 9 on the goal line, and I think that number only goes up.
Excellent.
He was second in the NFL last year in runs stuffed at the line. Like 19%, right?
Damn.
So that's not great, but at the same time, he leads the league in like breakaway runs, 5 more than anybody else. So they got a new center. They brought in 2 Ohio State linemen in the drafts. They brought in DeJuan Jones and Luke Weipler. PFF has them charted as the NFL's second best line, while the other two sources that I have both had them at 5th best offensive line. Sounds good for Nick Chubb, right?
Yeah.
We're watching this team shift from 12 personnel, 1 back, 2 tight ends, to an 11. So 1 back, 1 tight end. So I think Chubb will continue to be running into lighter boxes this year. He wasn't great at running into those last year, but at the same time, it's Jacoby Brissett. So hopefully offense is spread out a little bit better. He gets better looks going up the middle. He's going to have another solid season, and I think what he loses in carries, he easily gains in red zone opportunities. Nick Chubb should be considered in the early second round of fantasy drafts. Gentlemen, Nick Chubb is RB5 on 4-for-4. Nick Chubb or Tony Pollard?
Ooh.
You're going Chubb. I know you're going Chubb.
Yeah, I'm going Chubb.
Yeah, I've never drafted Nick Chubb, and I think this is the year that I have at least one share of Nick Chubb.
I've never been able to get him in redraft.
He's
had
always
that
been too high for me. He's always like 107. I'm like, it's a little steep.
Yeah. Nick Chubb or Derrick Henry?
Ooh. Derrick Henry's going to get injured. I'm going Chubb.
Oh, okay.
I will ride with the king until his head is taken off from the throne that he sits on.
And I want to because I love Derrick Henry, but something's going to happen.
Last but not least, Nick Chubb or Breece Hall?
Ooh. There's too many cooks in the kitchen and for the Jets at the running back position. I like Chubb.
Okay.
Give me the guy who's only missed 5 games his whole career.
Okay. So when I was writing this, we had entered the Jerome Ford as a sneaky handcuff slash potential role player era of offseason Twitter. That didn't do anything for me. He had 8 rushes for 12 yards and no catches. I said in the 2022 pre-draft write-up that Jerome Ford was, quote, I wouldn't be surprised if he ends up a premium handcuff to a great running back in a zone scheme after preseason is over. Well, here we are. He's a guy I compared to Raheem Mostert with better functional speed than play speed, but I have bad news for those who think he's going to just hop into the Kareem Hunt role. You ever seen this dude pass block?
I've never seen him. He only had 8 catches. I never see him on the field.
Well, you know who else didn't see him pass block? Cincinnati when he played there in college, and that was by choice. I think he's actually closer to a pure spellback for Chubb than a replacement for the Hunt role, which means Hunt's spot, which is like part-time spellback and the lead passing back, might get split between Ford and third-string running back Demetric Felton. This is me. I really just wanted to set up that Jerome Ford pass block joke. There's really nothing here. Don't worry about it. So I got the best kept secret for you here. You ready? Amari Cooper was a better receiver with Jacoby Brissett last year than he was with Deshaun Watson.
Yep. Oh shit.
He had 4.5 more fantasy points per game, almost 2 more catches and targets per game, and 12 more yards. He was wide receiver 10 overall last year, but he played all 17 games. So in terms of points per game, he was wide receiver 17. Last year, this kind of blew me away. Last year was his best NFL season in both targets and touchdowns, and his second best year in yards and catches.
Really? That's crazy.
Who the fuck knew, right? There are some
free. It was like a fifth rounder.
Right? So like there are some stats that indicate his next season could be better. He was third in the NFL in unrealized air yards. The offense is going to pass more. He had 4 top 10 weekly finishes last year, and he had almost a 40% dominator rating.
Damn.
So yeah, for those who don't know, dominator rating is what portion of the entire team's passing output is on one guy. We're talking catches, yards, touchdowns, and he had 40% of it.
Sure.
So, you know, those are great career numbers, but he was still fantasy points per game 17. So, like, he needs to play at his ceiling to do better than that.
Yeah.
He's a guy I'd like on my fantasy team at the right price because, like, his route success chart syncs up perfectly with Watson's passing success chart. They're going to connect on intermediate routes. He's going to get 7 to 9 targets a game, and he'll score, you know, 7, 8 touchdowns. Remember when everyone was like, Brandon Cooks, he's wide receiver 21 no matter what every year. That's Amari Cooper now. Doesn't matter who's quarterback. Doesn't matter what scheme. Doesn't matter who else is getting targets. That's where he lands. He's an unsexy pick, but picks like this are the reliable ones that I think win fantasy championships.
Sure.
So, gentlemen, wide receiver 23, Amari Cooper on 4 for 4 when I wrote this. Amari Cooper or Tyler Lockett?
Amari.
There's only one Brown I cape for. That's Elijah Moore.
Okay. Amari Cooper or Christian Kirk?
Kirk all the way.
Dude, we're projecting top 15 Christian Kirk season yet again. So we're going with the guy.
All right. Amari Cooper or Drake London?
Amari Cooper.
Man, fuck you. It's Amari Cooper.
All right. Well, I'll reward you with this, Shane, because it is Elijah Moore time.
Let's go.
This is Shane's guy. The Jets, the way they used Elijah Moore over the last 2 years is like keeping a luxury car in like a wood garage that you built yourself.
Right.
R.I.P. Ted Kaczynski.
There it is. So
clip it.
Do you guys remember weeks 8 through 13 in his rookie season when he had 51 targets, 34 catches, 459 yards, and 5 touchdowns?
That's why he's dying on my rosters.
It was a great season.
It was only 6 games, but it was like Josh Gordon 6 games, right? He got hurt. He came back in 2022, had issues with the coaching staff, and was so neglected that Katie and I recorded a fake true crime podcast for this show about his disappearance.
That's right.
He was 84th in the league in target share. He was 98th in catchable target rate. So he had the 98th worst or 98th best targets. And his passes were in the 93rd or the 7th percent accuracy. So they were 93% worse. They were fucking terrible. So his numbers actually doubled in games where Joe Flacco was quarterback, and he still managed to be 12th in the league in target separation.
Jesus Christ.
On the Jets, 25th in route win rate and 5th in the league in true catch rate. Now, Shane, you mentioned this earlier. I'm going to reiterate. True catch rate is your number of receptions divided by total catchable targets. All right, hang on. His true catch rate was 102.8%, which means every single pass he should have caught, he caught, and even some that he shouldn't have caught, he caught.
That's right, dude. Fuck your boss. Go to a new job.
So Reception Perception loves Elijah, and they have since his rookie year. He breaks all of their like success thresholds about win rates versus zone and man. He gets open in the intermediate on some of the more difficult routes to be successful on. And like he's gotten better both years at beating press coverage. So those are like the three big things. He's successful versus man, successful versus zone, successful versus press coverage. And he's in a good spot in all three. Go ahead. Talk your shit.
I was trying to sell him, and I literally just withdrew that trade right now as we're talking. I'm about to go buy me some Elijah Moore in Dynasty.
Elijah Moore is the day one slot receiver. He's going to get targets. Fuck Donovan Peoples-Jones. Fuck David Njoku. Not only do I think that he could be the slot guy, but I also got a little bit excited hearing reports of him motioning into the backfield on pass plays and OTAs. Give me those Kareem Hunt looks, right? Elijah Moore has an easy path to between 80 and 100 targets this year, and I think he could be a huge value. I honestly think that he has the second most targets on this team, which means he could be in line for triple figures.
Damn.
I love it, dude. The more I read about it, the more I was like, yep, this is the fucking guy. This is the fucking guy. So now that I've gassed you up, Elijah Moore or George Pickens?
I hate the Steelers, Elijah Moore.
Yeah, we've been shitting on the Steelers all episode, and we're going to continue to do so.
All right, Elijah Moore or Isaiah Hodgins?
Ooh. I'm going to go Hodgins with Danny Dimes.
Daniel DeNeros.
That's a your guy. I'm going my guy.
All right. So Donovan Peoples-Jones, speaking of dust, was the other boundary wide receiver. He ran 70% of his routes out wide. He's a deep threat. That's what he does. Watson is a strong deep ball passer, which makes Donovan Peoples-Jones appealing in best ball formats. But otherwise, I think he's just doing a ton of cardio out there this year. And he'll have four or five games where he catches a long touchdown. He'll be like, shit, I should have started him. And then when you start him, he'll go like, you know, 2 of 6 for like 48 yards. He actually ended up as a top 30 wide receiver last season, which should tell you more about who's catching passes in Cleveland than Donovan Peoples-Jones.
Yes.
If Donovan Peoples-Jones is in the top 30 again this year, it means either the Browns turned into the 2020 Kansas City Chiefs or everyone got hurt.
True.
Cedric Tillman is a rotational guy this year because he was brought in to replace Donovan Peoples-Jones, and David Bell is dust. Moving on. Last year's tight end 8 finish was the delivering of the promise that David Njoku has had since he was drafted. Like, man, people have been loving David Njoku since he came out, and he was always just a disappointment. He lined up all over the field. He was in the slot like 36% of the time, but I think that goes down with Elijah Moore there. And when that falls, so does his production. His production at tight end 8 was above almost all his metrics, which have him between like tight end 10, tight end 14. And actually, his splits got worse when Washington took over last year. The best thing he had going for him was that he was second among all tight ends with 20 red zone targets. And he only had 4 touchdowns on those 20 targets.
Oops.
So Njoku is still firmly in the tight end blob, but I believe that he should be closer to tight end 10, and he is tight end 7 right now. So David Njoku or Evan Engram?
I like Engram in Jacksonville.
Shocking.
That's where I'm at too.
David Njoku or Tyler Higbee?
I'm going to go Njoku. Okay. I disagree with your Higbee.
Fair.
He's gonna fall away from grace.
Yeah. Puka Nacau is going to take all those targets. Can I abstain?
Yes. Last but not least, David Njoku or Greg Dulcich?
Ooh. I'm going to go Dulcich.
Same.
Me as well.
All right. And that's the Cleveland Browns.
Wait.
That wasn't as bad as I thought, but also I think I got like keyed in front of my face with Elijah Moore talk. So
you went, your eyes rolled back in your head during that part. So
I can't stand up.
welcome back, Ryan. Ryan, tell us. So we had who they think going to beat them Texans. Now it's who they think going to beat them Bengals.
Hear that Bengal growling. Meet an angry. Here he comes the prowling. Lean and hungry.
my goddamn hero can't beat the Browns, Mom.
All right, let's talk about Cincinnati Bengals. They're going to ball out just like the last few years. I really don't like what they did with the draft, because if you look at, we'll get it right off the bat. If you look at Burrow's rookie season, he had 40.4 pass attempts in 10 games in his rookie season, which put them high in the rankings. But he kind of took a back turn last year. They finished 20th in passing attempts in his sophomore season. And mainly that was because he took 55 sacks. That was the third most in the NFL.
Yep. But then last year was much better.
Yeah. He completed 70.4% of his passes, averaging 8.9 yards per pass attempt.
That's wild.
Yeah. His first 8 games, what he had, 2,300 combined yards and 20 touchdowns, but kind of seems like he went, they had those weeks in what, week 16? Yeah, week 16 he went 525 for 4, and week 17, 446 for 4. Ended up with a little over 4,700 yards passing, 36 touchdowns. He finished 8th in quarterback fantasy points, 376. I mean, this is going to be another year where we see Jamar Chase and Higgins each combine and both have, you know, more than 1,000-yard seasons, I think. Provided everyone stays healthy.
I have a question. Shane, did you read the Bengals chapter in the Sharp
book? Not yet.
So, Ryan, I want to get your thoughts on this, because you researched them, and this is something I wanted to ask you about. So, in the beginning of the year, the Bengals faced cover two to stop Chase from going deep.
Sure.
And they didn't change their play calling until week 6. Because Zach Stacy's a fucking moron. Or yeah, whatever. I called him Zach Stacy. Zach Taylor. They're both assholes. For different reasons. But, like, it as a result, like, Burrow got hotter, right? Like, you started to see him pick up. Because, yeah, like, he threw those, like, was it, like, 4 interceptions against Pittsburgh?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then he just got hot because his yards per attempt got shorter. And, man, I'm so excited for the Bengals receivers this year.
Dude, this is a gut take. This is an analytical point. I don't think we've seen like half of what Joe Burrow can do. Like, I just got a feeling like this dude's going to hit a different plane in the next like 2 to 3 years. And we're going to be like, I'm already blown away with the guy, but like, I just don't feel that it's all come together for the team and he hasn't like hit his stride.
Sure.
Yeah. So listen to this. Chase, you know, he was out, what, 5 games?
Yeah.
With that hip thing. But he did even better than in his second season.
Yep.
Let's see. Averaging, yeah, 7.3 attempts per game, 87 yards a game, almost a full touchdown line. He only fell short of 50 receiving yards in 1 of 12 games that he played last year.
That's insane.
And opposed to his rookie season where he only failed to reach 50 receiving yards in 6 games, he's going to ball out this year. This could be his career year.
It's the shorter passes, right? Like, remember his rookie year, it's like deep ball, deep ball, deep ball. And like, yeah, he caught a shitload of those. But at the same time, now he's getting, did you look at his target numbers? They're insane. Like you said, you were saying he had 7 catches. Like, he had 7 targets his rookie year. He had 11 targets per game last year.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Because they just started throwing underneath because defenses were like, we're not letting him beat us deep. And they were just like, okay, short pass, short pass, short pass,
and
short
then,
pass.
And then he racks up fucking 90 yards on one play, dude.
Right. He's only going to be 23 this year, too.
No wonder why everybody thinks he's going to finish as wide receiver 1, dude.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
I mean, there's a reason why Jefferson and Chase are going as, you know, 1 and 2. Yeah.
Well, if you think about it, like, if he gets 11 targets a game and he plays all 17 games, He leads the league in targets.
True. Another guy we can talk about is T. Higgins. Actually, no. Let's before that, I wanted to talk about their draft and how they really did nothing to work on that 55 sack year that, you know, they didn't do anything with offensive line. They
didn't they sign Orlando Brown?
They did.
Yeah, They signed Orlando Brown. Yeah, that's going to be impact play, but the problem is they have no depth. Like let's look at their draft really quick. Their first round pick, they went with defense. They took the edge rusher Miles Murphy from Clemson. They took a cornerback in round 2, DJ Turner from Michigan. They took a safety, Jordan Battle from Alabama, round 3. Round 4, they took a wide receiver, Charlie Jones, who actually could potentially beat out Boyd for targets this year, dare I say.
RIP Tyler Boyd, I love you so much.
This is Tyler Boyd's last year on his contract, so I'm assuming Charlie Jones is the slot receiver. And when I was doing my research, I immediately discovered that he's taken in every dynasty league I'm in.
Right, and Boyd last year had, let's see, 5-year lows in targets. He only had 82 targets last year, 58 receptions, 762 yards. So that's his 5-year low.
Yep.
He did finish though in top 36, which extended his streak of top 36 seasons to 5 in a row. But Charlie Jones, interesting play.
Yeah.
At round 5, they took Chase Brown, running back from Illinois. Guys, what happened with Joe Mixon?
He just buried Chris Evans and Chase Brown.
He's back.
He's back, right? We don't need to talk about Chase Brown anymore.
He brought a gun to the FO and said, "You're going to give me a pay reduction."
Round 6, they picked up a wide receiver, Andre Iasovis.
Yeah, from Princeton.
I got better hopes for Charlie Jones than him.
Yep.
Round 6, they picked up a punter. Wow. And round 7, they picked up another cornerback. So they literally, outside of free agency, they didn't draft any potential talent at offensive line to try and protect Burrow even more.
Did they lose a lot of games due to like high scoring? Is that why? And like Eli Apple's washed and like... I know Trey Hendricks, is that the guy or is that a wrestler?
Trey Hendrickson.
Okay, yeah. Who had that like 90-yard touchdown return against Tyler Huntley?
That was Sam Hubbard. Their defense is not enough. Their defense is good, but it's not enough when you have to face Buffalo and Kansas City in January.
Yeah.
That's just what it is.
Sure. So to continue on what we wanted to talk a little bit about T. Higgins. I know Tony has some bunch of stuff to say about T. Higgins. What you got?
I don't know, man. I feel like most people were disappointed in T. Higgins last year, right?
Well, he was hurt.
I don't feel like I was. I mean, he was. Let's look at his 3 years of production. All right, with the Bengals right now. 215 catches for over 3,000 yards and 19 touchdowns. That's fucking good.
It is.
That's really good.
Especially when you're the wide receiver 2 for 2 years.
He has a minimum. He has a minimum of 3 catches in only 38 of the 41 games in which he played at least 50% of the snaps.
Okay, check this out. Right. So he was wide receiver 26 in fantasy points per game, and that doesn't count, you know, games that he was out, but. He had 3 games last year with snap shares of 26.6, 18.6, and 1.6. Right? So there are 3 games that he played less than a quarter then.
Sure.
So if you look at his targets per game, that includes the games that he left early. So if you get rid of those games, in all of the games where T. Higgins played over 27% of the snaps, he averaged 8.3 targets, 5.5 catches, 77 yards, and half a touchdown.
So he's just like, instead of buying Ja'Marr Chase at 102, you're just taking T. Higgins at 306 and you're getting almost the same output.
Well, that's actually, and Ryan, I know you're going to ask us questions, but I have a question for you guys. Are you comfortable in fantasy with T. Higgins as your wide receiver one?
No, I mean, I guess it could be my wide receiver one if I'm like flush, if I was able to get like Mahomes
and Kelsey or something.
Yeah. I'd be fine with it like that. Yeah.
It depends on structure. Absolutely. So if like you have like 104, right, you go like Kelsey or Bijan, like you go crazy. Then second round, you go like Jalen Hurts or Najee, right? And then round three, you have Higgins. I think I'm fine with that setup, right?
Okay.
Like I feel more confident in him putting up wide receiver one numbers compared to Devonta Smith, because they're around the same ADP. Because you know Joe Burrow is going to sling that fucking ball for 5,000 yards, right?
Sure. Yeah. And another player who helps out, now that we know Joe Mixon is back, he doesn't get a lot of attention, at least in my mind. Like, it doesn't... He's a running back that's always been someone I've not been targeting, but he actually had 60 catches last year.
Yeah, he had 75 targets. It was wild. Yeah,
that's a lot. So I'm really liking that Joe Mixon is back. It puts a lot of down pressure on these running backs that they drafted, but do we know what Mixon's contract, is it just a one-year deal?
It's a restructure.
Okay.
So instead of his cap hit being giant, they're just bringing him to lower guaranteed or later guaranteed money. And like, honestly, I don't think it affects the receiving or the running back room as much as we think it does. Because like, if you look at Joe Mixon's efficiency stats last year, it realistically, his only saving grace and why he finished higher than he should have is because of those increase in targets.
Yep.
Where like, he's just kind of getting worse and worse as the years go along. I know he kind of has a stink on him because he burned people years before, and people don't want to feel that. It's like a bad breakup where you're like, I'm holding this grudge for no reason,
right?
Kind of a deal. So I think we're going to see him carry the lion's share, but I still think we're going to see more back involvement compared to P. Ryan, right? I think that's what's going to signal. So instead of Mixon taking 70% of the snaps, he takes 60.
Well, yeah. How do you guys feel about, now that P. Ryan's gone, how do you feel about Travion Williams?
I don't even know who that is.
He showed some flashes last year.
And Chris Evans has shown flashes before too.
True.
I think Cincinnati's an interesting spot to see. I think Chase Brown, I think all three of them have pass catching utility.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, Chase Brown's a good, change of pace option. Yeah, he's got that big playability. But the only problem with Chase Brown is he's going to have to do a lot to prove to the staff that he's worthy of playing, because he had four fumbles last year for Illinois.
Woof.
So he's going to have to do some proving ground stuff to show that he's got the hands again.
I don't know, man. Like, how many times are they going to run Joe Mixon into the line for 1 yard before they're like, can we just try something else?
True.
I mean, Zach Taylor shown, right? Hey, I'm being carried by my talent. Let Joe Burrow and my two all-pro receivers go do all the work.
He ran for under 4 yards a carry and was 30th in yards after contact. Dude, Joe Mixon only broke 100 yards rushing 2 times last year.
Wow.
And that was when he bounced my ass out of fantasy playoffs. Bitch.
Okay, so with that said, how about Joe Mixon or Breece Hall?
That's a good one.
That is very tricky.
I'm holding my nose and taking Mixon.
Okay. Yeah. Okay, so like, now that he's back, he's been going in like fifth-ish round. Where do you guys see him finish or being in like draft season? Fourth round, end of the third?
Yeah,
I think third.
At most, it moves up to early four.
I think the 3-4 turn is probably where you see Mixon go. Yeah. He becomes the optimal dead zone running back, right? If he falls into the fourth.
Right.
Yeah.
And especially with the 78 targets that he had last year, he's going to get work in the pass game too.
He's like if Aaron Jones sucked at running up the middle.
Yeah. How about Joe Mixon or Najee?
Najee.
Yeah, I think I'd take Najee.
Okay. How about T. Higgins? T. Higgins or Chris Olave?
Olave.
I've been talking my Olave shit all day long. I got to back it up, dude.
I think T. Higgins is going to return on value. I think Chris Olave will increase on value.
You think? I've got T. Higgins at around like 1,050 yards. What do you have Olave at?
I'd have to pull that up.
I mean, you've got him over 1,000 yards, right?
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
1,200.
Hang on, let me pull it up real quick. This is why I prepare for these things.
But where do you think like T. Higgins' ceiling is on fantasy finish, right? Wide receiver 14, wide receiver 12.
Well, he finished 12 was it last year? So like we've seen him do it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think you end up with T as a high end wide receiver too.
Okay.
Let's see.
Oh, you got your Olave numbers?
Yeah, okay. So I was saying he's probably looking at close to 130 targets.
Okay.
So that probably bumps him up to like 89 to 90 catches. Yeah.
I've got him at 88.
Could be 1,300 yards, 1,250.
Ooh, wow.
Dude, Chris Olave's ADOT is fucking 14 yards a catch. Like,
oh wait, sorry. I was talking T. Higgins.
Those are my Olave stats. I think Olave over T for me.
Here's one for you, Shane. T. Higgins or Mike Williams?
It's T. Higgins.
Okay.
I hate to say it, but I think I'm like the biggest Mike Williams hater in the like in football absurdity. Like I've never, as soon as I drafted Mike Williams in the one rookie startup I took, I traded him immediately. It was like within an hour of the draft finishing, I was like, get him off my roster.
There you go.
All right. Let's talk about some tight ends. Now
hell yeah.
Historically, you know, Cincinnati doesn't utilize their tight ends as much as we would like.
Didn't Hurst do really well last year, though?
Uzama did all right.
Dude, okay, listen. I didn't want to hop in with this, but I'm going to hop in with this. Since Joe Burrow has become the Bengals quarterback in 3 years, 3 years of football, there have been 6 games where a Bengals tight end has ended as a top 12 tight end that week.
Yeah, it's never good.
6 times in 3 years.
Well, I mean, when you have Chase and Higgins and Tyler Boyd, like someone's got to get the short end of the stick.
Right.
So Uzama's gone. Hurst is gone. So now they've brought in Irv Smith, who I have no confidence in this offense. I was kind of high on him last year, but I don't even know why. But if you look at what he's done, he's only appeared in 8 of the 34 games over the past 2 seasons. He's just an injury risk.
Dude, you know why you're fading Irv Smith? Because you don't remember. Because everybody remembers Alvin Kamara scoring 6 touchdowns that day, that Christmas Day game when it was Saints-Vikings. Irv Smith caught 2 fucking touchdowns in that game, bro.
Yeah. Well, I think Drew Sample is going to emerge this year. I like Drew Sample this year. You watch. Mark my word.
God.
Oh, after God. Week 6.
Oh, God. Wait, do you want to hear that? I have Irv Smith had my favorite stat line of the season last year. You ready?
Yeah.
4 targets, 4 catches, 7 yards, 1 touchdown.
1 broken hand. Nice.
Yeah, right?
So, yeah, Cincinnati's going to have another baller year. I've got them at 13 wins. Let's go over their schedule really quick.
Let's do it.
Week 1 at the Browns. That's a win. Week 2 versus the Ravens at home. What do you think? That one might be close.
I think that's a Ravens win because didn't the Ravens beat their ass last year?
Yeah, they tend to struggle against Cleveland and They tend to struggle against Cleveland and the Ravens.
I'll give that a loss.
Okay, so we're 1-1.
1-1.
Week 3 versus the Rams. Win.
Yep. Easy.
Week 4, they go to Tennessee. That should be a win.
W.
Easy.
Week 5, they go to the Cardinals. That's a win.
W. Just stay healthy. That's all you got to do. Just stay healthy.
Surprisingly, their schedules, it gets harder.
Yeah.
So week 6, they're at home against the Seahawks. That's a win. So we've got them at 5 wins. Week 7's their bye. Week 8, they go to San Francisco. I'm going to call that a win. What do you guys think?
I'm going to give it a loss because I think there's a chance they lose one of those other games, like against Seattle, or slip up in a random one. So I'm just going to put that second loss here.
Okay. So we're at 6-2. Then they go to home and they play the Bills. Potential AFC championship matchup.
Ooh,
what do you guys think?
Don't they have their number? Or is that KC?
I mean,
what?
Since Cincinnati beats Buffalo and KC beats Cincinnati. That's like the Ouroboros of the AFC.
I'm going to call it a win. So I got them at, 6-2? 7-2?
7-2.
Yeah. And Shane's high on a absolute Bills collapse. He said he's betting his reputation on
really
Bills falling apart.
This is where the Bills lose and Stephon Diggs walks off the team.
Ooh. All right, so week 10 at home against the Texans. That's a win.
W. Easy.
Week 11, they go to Baltimore to play the Ravens. We took a Baltimore loss already. I'm going to call that a split, but yeah, I'm going to call that a win.
Sure.
Week 12, they play the Steelers. I'm calling that a win.
Dub.
Here's an interesting one. Week 13, you know, getting into playoff kind of seeding here. They go into Jacksonville. What do you think?
How's Jacksonville's defense? Are they good or are they kind of middle of the pack?
Yeah, they're middle. Yeah. They're not great.
I think that's Bengals.
I'm going Bengals.
Okay. We'll call it a win.
Too good.
Week 14, they're going against the Colts.
W.
And week 15 versus the Vikings.
That should be W.
They
have no defense.
And I lost my second page with the rest of the schedule.
We'll just assume they're all dubs.
I will say, though, I did plant my flag in Joe Burrow MVP, and I think doing this exercise is just gassing me up for that.
There's a lot to like there, man. There's a lot to think that he's going to take that next step and just show us, like, playoff Joe Burrow for, like, a whole season, right?
Yeah, yes.
Yeah, I'm, like, envisioning him, like, you know, smoking cigars on the sidelines.
Okay. So wait. So the last few games, they're at Pittsburgh.
Okay, that's a win.
I don't know. I kind of want to give them a loss there.
Well, they play the Chiefs.
Oh, and they got to play the Browns again too, right?
Yeah, they play the Steelers. Yep, they play at the Steelers, at Kansas City, and then home against Cleveland.
I'm going to call the last game of the year a loss just because statistically Cincinnati really has a hard time when they play Cleveland, and that's the last game of the year, so probably be sitting a lot of people.
Sure.
So unless 4 losses.
Yeah, so I got them at 13-4, yeah.
I love it.
Yeah.
All right. So sounds like we're high on the Bengals, high on a couple Browns. Moderately something or other on some Texans. What are we doing next week, guys?
I already got this shit locked and loaded, dude. I did San Francisco for half the Houston research. I'm going up to the Bay.
Okay.
We're going Niners.
Right. Let's see. Right. I've got Detroit, the Jets, and Jacksonville, I think, left. I'm going to go Detroit.
Oh, you guys are doing fun ones. All right, cool. I'm going to go Arizona.
Okay. All right.
Really spice it up a little bit. Hey,
I just acquired Amon-Ra St. Brown in Dynasty, so I got to talk. I want to hear that Amon-Ra talk.
Oh, yeah? All right. Oh, I'll try and look up a bunch of stuff on him.
I peered into the void and entered the realm of Hunter, and I made a trade with Hunter against my better judgment.
Dude, he's trade god. Absolute trade god. Yeah, we're getting close, y'all. We're getting close.
There's like, what, 30 days till the Hall of Fame game?
Oh, yes. That's
probably about right, yeah.
Oh, it's so cool.
Who is the Hall of Fame game this year?
The Browns and the Jets.
Ooh.
We're gonna see Zach Wilson start in the NFL again.
Hell yeah.
What a way to start the season.
It's cursed, dude. It's the cursed season already.
I love that Ryan's saving the Jets for the end. Are you getting ready for Hard Knocks?
Yeah, I don't know if I'm kind of saving Jacksonville for the last one, but
sure.
So it'll be Detroit, Jets, and then Jacksonville, I guess.
Yeah, and you have one less, remember? So,
oh yeah.
I was like, how does he only have three left? I'm like, I feel like I have six more teams I gotta cover.
Yeah,
no, you guys should have four left, right?
Yeah.
Yep. All right. Well, that seems like as good a place as any to end episode 90.5. Until next week, don't do anything bad. Do good things. Yep. Any final thoughts? We're like 8 weeks away, 8 Sundays away, 2 days from now from our first red zone of the year.
God, right. I can't wait to see that handsome man on my TV with right. Del Taco in my hand.
I actually like a week or two ago when I was looking up guys for episodes, I was like, let me look up Scott Hansen and see if he's got any, like, numbers wise, or maybe he like played in like 89 or 90 or something. No, he's got a pretty stereotypical broadcaster life.
We'll just moving do him the week around before the season. The season kicks
moving around
off.
The country till he got the red zone gig.
We'll do our Scott Hansen special.
Oh, sure. Yeah. And our 91s all coming at you next week. So thanks for sticking around. You're the best. Have a great week. Goodbye.
Peace. Good night, everyone. See ya.
Your boss, go to a new job.